Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
And now it's time for the Scores NBA Draft Special with your host, the voice of the Bulls, Chuck Swirsky, on your home for Chicago Bulls basketball, 670 The Score.
With the 12th pick in the 2025 NBA Draft, the Chicago Bulls select Noah Essengay from Saint-Jean-du-Bray, France, and the Ulm Club in Germany.
And good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Always a pleasure. NBA draft coverage, Chicago Bulls coverage, right here on 670 The Score. And we are on until midnight. You just heard the announcement from the commissioner, Adam Silver. Noah Essengay, 6'9", out of France. He played at the high-level Ulm in the top-level German league. And he played 60 games for that ball club. He averaged 10.7 rebounds. And as far as his wingspan, it is huge, folks. And we're talking about the fact that he is a two-way player. He is very, very young. He is the second youngest player in the draft. The youngest player, the number one overall pick, Cooper Flagg, one season out of Duke. And, of course, you know Cooper Flagg is going to be a spectacular player, but Cooper Flagg is the youngest player in this draft, and Essengay is number two. Having said all this, the thing that impresses me about this pick, because there were a lot of rumors, how far is he going to go? Is he going to go 10? Is he going to go 15? And he probably got drafted in the right window. And so what this ball club and what the Bulls are looking for are two-way players. Now, again, he is a very, very young player. And you're going to have to be patient. I know Bulls fans don't want to hear it, but it's the truth. And you're going to have to let him grow and develop as Bezelis did. And I'm not saying he's on that street and the same lane with Bezelis, because we don't know. He has never played one NBA game. But the fact that he played at a level in Germany in a very, very good league, at least there is hope that if you're going to swing for the fences, and you go for this. And so I'm all in. I am totally all in. Now, a lot of people wanted Queen, the young man out of Maryland. But I have to believe that the Bulls obviously are not done yet, because they've got to get a big man. And they needed height to begin with. And they were one of the smallest teams in the NBA. So this will help, no question about it. So tonight, with coverage from ESPN, we want to thank them as well. Let's go to Malika Andrews.
Noah Essengay, one of the risers in this draft. Noah began playing basketball at 12, which was just 6 years ago. He's the second youngest player in this draft, and he played the last two seasons in Germany, which maybe is why that fan looked a little bit confused, but he grew up in France, and he made a huge leap productivity-wise year one to year two in Germany, and says that he watches a lot of Kevin Durant, he watches a lot of Brandon Ingram, and Kawhi Leonard as well, players that can dribble, that can shoot, that can pass and defend, the whole package here.
And that's exactly what the Bulls are hoping for in time, is to get a really, really good two-way player, because that's where this league is going, folks, with versatility. And here is Jonathan Givony, who covers European ball, international ball for ESPN.
Noah Essengay is a ball of clay at 18 years old, waiting to be molded into a Swiss Army knife two-way forward in the Pascal Siakam mold. He guards point guards at over 6'11 in shoes. He draws fouls in bunches with his fluidity and mobility. He's a smart passer. He wreaks havoc defensively with a 9'2" standing reach. He made huge progress, as you mentioned, as the year moved on, playing high-level competition in Germany. Despite being the second youngest player in this draft, after Cooper Flagg. He will not turn 19 years old until December 18th. Now, his shooting, his thin frame, two things he's going to have to work on. But he's been super productive everywhere he's been. And as the type of instincts you can't teach at his size and length. The Bulls will be keeping this pick, I'm told, by the way.
All right, so there you go. The fact that he is going to come into the NBA very, very raw, but with a tremendous upside. And Kendall Gill, who was an outstanding player in the NBA, and of course with the Chicago Sports Network, has some comments about his style of play, but more importantly, how he plans to play in the NBA, similar to what the Thunder run.
Interesting pick, and the thing is, too, he fits the mold of the OKC Thunder, the Indiana Pacers. A two-way player that you collect them, mm-hmm. and you put them on your team, and all of these guys can be interchangeable, especially when the Bulls are looking for rim protection as well. I mean, at 6'10", he seems like he's long, and you just mentioned earlier in the last segment about the bigs like Chet Holmgren, mm-hmm. that can protect the rim. That's something that the Bulls need. Obviously, they thought that they needed somebody back there to be a rim runner and a rim protector.
Okay, again, he's got a handle, he can pass, outstanding defensive instincts according to one scouting report, and with more on the newest member of the Chicago Bulls, let's go back to Kendall Gill.
You want to have guys who are long and can defend, especially out on that perimeter.
And that's why a lot of teams want two-way guys, so that they don't have the opposing team doesn't have the ability to hunt them at any position whatsoever. Now, if you can draft right and you can become like the Indiana Pacers or you can become like the OKC Thunder where you can guard at every position, then that's great.
And with more, Bulls insider KC Johnson.
KC, who's the newest Chicago Bull?
He will be French forward Noah Essengue, I'm told. He's a defensive prospect, very athletic, two-way potential. Here's some measurements on him. He is 6'10 without shoes, weighs 204 pounds, standing reach of 9 feet 2 inches, a wingspan of 7'1". So you can see him pairing with Matas Bouzelis. And if Patrick Williams, you know, is healthy and shows some potential to create some havoc defensively in that front court. I said all along, I thought I'd be surprised if the Bulls took another guard. They were focused on the front court. Noah Essengue is somebody that is very athletic and has a lot of potential. So I'm excited about this pick. I think Bulls fans should be too.
All right, so that is KC Johnson, Bulls insider with the Chicago Sports Network. And just moments ago, Noah Essengue met with reporters via conference call. And let's hear from the newest member of the Bulls.
Noah, welcome to Chicago. I'm curious what kind of relationship you have with the Bulls through the pre-draft process.
You know, we got a video call. We got some calls before the draft. Yeah, we just talk to each other.
And what strengths do you feel like you have that you can contribute at the NBA level your first year? And what do you think are some of the things you might need to work on?
I think I'm going to bring energy, you know, in defense and offense. Like, I'm going to grip everything I got. Yeah, more defensively. And offensively, you know, I'm going to improve myself. I'm going to do, like, all of those little details. So, yeah, just helping the team to win.
Hey, Noah. Drew Stevens from the Bigs. How you doing?
I'm good.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
I'm wondering, because you are from France, and I think you were maybe 9 years old the last time the Bulls won a playoff series, what were your impressions of this franchise growing up?
I mean, you know, that's just, like, amazing. Yeah, maybe not, you know the mythical Chicago Bulls team, but, you know, everybody know Michael Jordan, Tony Pippen. And that's like a legendary franchise with a lot of championships, a lot of rings. And that's like, yeah, a big background.
You know, Julia Poe with the Chicago Tribune. Congratulations and looking forward to you getting here to Chicago. I'm just wondering, what has this week been like for you coming over from Germany? Kind of what has that whirlwind experience been like for you?
I mean, you know, that's just an amazing week. I know the end of the week going to be with the drafts. That's just like amazing feeling, just be around my family, be around good people, just start to have some good relationship with other players, and yeah, just be called by the team, and today the Chicago Bulls, that's just amazing feeling.
Noah, we have to ask, do you know Joakim Noah?
Yeah, for sure, that's my guy. But like, for a fun fact, the first day I landed in New York, I go to the edge, and one of my guys from the agency know Joakim Noah, and I was on the phone with him.
Where do you think your offensive game stands?
I mean, I think I can do like pretty much everything, all the little details like shooting, passing the ball, attack to the rim. But I think my biggest strength right now is like all the open court game, and yeah.
Noah, this is Mike from the Daily Herald. I was going to ask you some very similar question about where you think you are offensively. What would you say is your best, besides running the court? What would you say is your best skill offensively, and what do you think you need to work on the most?
Yeah, I think my biggest strength is like finishing, all the finishing close to the basket, dunk, layup, all that stuff. Yeah, I think I need to work on that, just become more constant on my shooting skills.
Noah, I know we've heard a lot about your versatility, your ability to kind of play a lot of different positions going through this process. Do you have a kind of favorite or a strong suit in terms of where you like to fit in on the court?
No, if I play, I feel good, so I don't like favorite position on the court.
Noah, do you know any current members on the Bulls?
Hmm?
Do you know any current members on the Bulls?
Yeah, I don't know like personally, but I follow Matas Vucelis since a long time because I watched him in night and all that stuff. So I know him a little bit, but I don't know him personally.
What has the experience been like for you playing professionally in Germany?
I mean, that's really amazing. I think that's really helped me to become a better person, not only on the court, but also off the court. Just the everyday around people who all these, for some guy playing NBA, playing EuroLeague, that's really helpful.
And last one from me. The Bulls have talked a lot about, wanting to play faster, getting up and down the court. Did they talk to you about that through the pre-draft process and you fitting in that style of play?
Yeah, we talked a little bit about that. And I think, that's the type of play I want. Just running cool, play fast, because I think that's the type of play I'm better at.
Cody Westholm, the Sixth Enemy Score. Just kind of what went into your decision to leave your team in Germany in the finals and come over for the big experience, and what did that experience tonight mean to you? Because it seems like a tough decision there.
Yeah, we talk a lot, with my coaching staff, all the staff from home, and the guests, if I go to the green room, I'm leaving. The coach said just go to see your dream. So yeah, when the day I earned my norm in the green room, coach said just go there, live your dream, and we're gonna finish the job.
Anybody else? Hey Noah, Deion Miller from ABC7. Welcome to Chicago. When did you feel like you were ready to make this jump to the NBA and bring your game here?
I would say that was a long trip. I was playing the preseason game in Portland at the beginning of the year. And I think I did a pretty good job. I put like 20 points. And I guess that was like 1 year ago. So I just like built some confidence all around the year. I increased like all my stuff, my bag. So I would say that.
All right, that is Noah Essengay with a conference call with Chicago media. We're going to hear from Nick Friedel, who covers the NBA for Odyssey, in just a moment. And Fran Fraschella, who knows European basketball as well as anyone, just sent a tweet out, and he goes, Noah Essengay, extremely athletic young player who must get stronger, round out offensive skills, but great long-term potential. The Bulls continue to live in NBA purgatory, not bad enough to tear down, not good enough to get out of the play-in game. And again, that is Fran Fraschella. But again, the upside is that he has a great long-term potential for Noah Essengay. You're listening to Bulls draft coverage right here on 670 The Score, live from the Hyundai Studios, brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers. Nick Friedel coming up next. This is Chuck Swirsky on 670 The Score.
Welcome back to The Score's NBA Draft Special. Here's your host, the voice of the Bulls, Chuck Swirsky.
And we are live right now at 10:03 Chicago time, right here on 50,000 watts of NBA and Bulls information. And always a pleasure. And again, Noah Essanga, drafted number 12 by the Bulls. There was a lot of speculation maybe the Bulls would move up, but they elected to stay at 12. I'm sure they probably attempted to move up. But again, Essanga, the second youngest player drafted in the NBA this season. Cooper Flagg is number one. Essanga will not turn 19 until mid-December. And before we go to Nick, a couple of updates. Kasparis Jakaciunas goes to the Heat. Will Riley, who played 1 year as well for the Fighting Illini, headed to Washington. And on the line is Odyssey Sports NBA insider Nick Friedell. Insider calls are brought to you by Hyundai. We put your safety first and everything else second. Learn more at HyundaiUSA.com. Nick, how you doing?
Chuck Attack, I am sitting here with a huge smile on my face because I'm thinking of all those nights you and I used to spend on draft night at the Berto Center all those years ago. And so it is just always good to hear you. And I am very, very interested to get into this conversation with you about the draft.
Yeah, and again, Nick knows the NBA as well as anyone. And just to dial it back just a few seasons ago, more than a few seasons, when Gar Forman was handling the draft, and they would have a press conference afterwards, and the one thing that was constant with Gar, I can't believe he was on the board!
Well, Chuck, as soon as I heard that they drafted Essanga, and I'm talking to my friends around the league, and I'm seeing the descriptions on the telecast on ESPN, all I'm thinking is Gar going, well, you know, he's long, he's athletic, and I'm thinking, oh, I'm in the Twilight Zone again. So I had the same thought you did. I can't believe that he was still there. He said it every year. It was like clockwork, and it is a rite of passage for any long-time Bulls fan.
Yes. Well, let's turn the clock ahead to 2025, and let's talk about Essanga. And again, I'm getting all these reports. I just talked to a broadcaster who calls games in the EuroLeague who has seen Essanga, and he loves his upside. He loves his the ability. He's got length. Needs to work on his offensive half-court game, but he said an open floor, unbelievable player, long, athletic. But again, he's not going to come into the NBA, as a lot of young players, especially an 18-year-old kid, and light it up immediately. But, you know, one has to believe as far as when you get to 12, 15, 18, you take your chance with the best player you think probably down the road is going to work out.
Chuck, I couldn't agree with you more. And if you're Karnisovas and Eversley and you have the backing of Mike Reinsdorf and ownership, swing for the fences. And that's what I feel like the Bulls did here tonight. Clearly they identified this young player as a guy that they believe can develop over time, because any 18-year-old's not coming in the league to do much right away, clearly. But if you think he's that good and you trust your scouts, this is why they make the money that they do. I think the biggest takeaway for me isn't so much on Essanga, it's that after what Karnisovas and Eversley have shown as a track record over the last few years, for them to still have the type of backing that they do have and to make this pick, that is wild. So it remains to be seen what kind of player he develops into. He may well become a very good NBA player in time, but the fact that the roster is where it is right now, and they need help really across the board. If you believe he's the guy, then take the swing and see what happens.
All right, Nick Friedell joining us right here on 670 The Score, because there was a lot of speculation, well, two speculations on the part of a lot of people, not only in Chicago, but also across the board who cover this NBA draft. One train of thought was, okay, you know what, the Bulls are going to try and move up, and maybe they did attempt to move up. Nick, we don't know that. And we'll probably never find out, because no GM or vice president is going to come out publicly and say, yeah, we tried to move up and we couldn't. So we really don't know what happened in that boardroom. But there was a lot of speculation maybe the Bulls would be trying to be really bold and get into the top five, or maybe they would move up from 12 to about 8 or 9 to get a big. But again, if this is the guy they targeted and they wanted him, they got him. Now, a lot of people were thinking about Queen out of Maryland, or Sorber out of Georgetown, or Newell from Georgia. because this club sorely lacks a center. But again, if there's a gap, Nick, between Essengay and the other players I just mentioned, you got to go with Essengay. But what do you take out of the middle first round?
Chuck, more so than I can remember in a long, long time, it's such a crapshoot. And you and I have been doing this for years and years, and you have seen it all in the league. But with such little information on some of these prospects and how young they are, Essengay being at the forefront of the conversation, this is where you just trust that the organization has the pieces in place to select the person that they want. Again, if you're a Bulls fan, and you and I know thousands of different Bulls fans that have met them through the years, that would be my only point of contention is if you have a front office with a proven track record and they've repeatedly drafted well and you feel like they're going to hit way more than they missed, then great. Then people would say, okay, we trust in Karnisovas and Eversley and they believe that Essengay is the guy and let's see what happens. But they don't have that. They don't have the public trust right now. I know Matas Bezelis has had a nice year and he looks like a solid prospect, but that's 1 year. That's the part to me that is so intriguing as the next couple of years unfold, because I'm with you. The few people I've talked to around the league, even in the last hour or so, they say the length is nice. They say that he has some playmaking ability. But the next thing they say, Chuck, and this is what the story is right now, he's 18 years old. On the telecast, he said he started playing basketball 6 years ago. So who knows? Who knows how this is going to play out? But the front office just doesn't have the public trust, and that's why I'm really fascinated to see how they spin all this in the coming days, because they're going to want him to come in and develop and be the type of prospect that they can lean on into a core, but they don't have the ability to sell the fan base to trust the direction that they've taken the organization over the last few years.
Well, you know, I'm going to be intrigued to see, because Billy Donovan did an outstanding job bringing Bezelis along during the course of the year. He didn't give him minutes just for the sake of saying, hey, you're our number one pick, go ahead and play 35 minutes. I mean, I think the second half of the season, there was a connection between the head coach and the rookie. And it worked out beautifully because we saw the maturation of Bezelis right in front of our eyes. Now, again, I'm not comparing players. I'm just saying with an 18-year-old kid, Bezelis did play in the G League. Okay, so it's not like there was a transition. There was a transition, but not maybe as big of a gap as playing for the top league in Germany coming into the United States. And again, I want to be very, very clear about this. He is not going to turn 19 until December. So people need to exhale and give this kid a chance to get familiar with the United States, get familiar with what's going on in the NBA. But I think the big question now is, what's next for the Bulls? What do they do as far as trades or, you know, I mean, they've got how many players under contract, Nick? 12, 13?
Chuck, they have got to desperately redo this roster. And I know they don't want to go full rebuild, and they got to figure out how much they're going to give Giddey and what happens with Kobe White. I think it's long past time for Vooch to be elsewhere, even though he is so respected in the locker room. But to tie it all back to tonight with Essengay, it's very clear the style the Bulls want to play. And you live it every night. They want to race up and down the floor, and they want to knock down threes, and they want to play an entertaining style. For an 18-year-old to come in as high as people may be on him and adapt to that, that's going to be pretty difficult, I would think, because there is such a gap between the NBA and everywhere else, no matter where you're coming in. Even somebody who's played in college for years, it's a struggle to get up to speed with how fast everything's coming. But as far as the next move for the Bulls, you got to figure it's Giddey, and it's deciding how much that you are going to invest in his future? What, where else is he going to get interest? Do you believe that he is the type of cornerstone player that is going to help you start to contend again in the East? I think he had a really, really good year, but he had a really good year under a different contract. Chuck, you and I have watched the league go for so often where a player looks good one year because of a deal they're under, and then they sign the next year, and the expectations change, and what you expect night to night changes, and you just don't feel the same way. I mean, Bulls fans are listening to our conversation right now, and they're thinking Zach LaVine, a really solid player, but a player that is just not worthy of a max contract. So there are always different layers in play. I think it starts with Giddey, and then you figure out what you're doing from there. But as always with the Bulls, you really have to scrutinize what the plan is, because for so long it just kind of felt like they were comfortable being in the middle. And if you really want to attack the Eastern Conference that is wide open going into next year because of all the injuries, it's time to pick a path and make several moves that gets you out of the middle place that you're in right now.
You're listening to the voice of Nick Friedell, Odyssey Sports and NBA Insider, formerly with ESPN, of course, who was the lead columnist for ESPN around the NBA. And we've got Insider Calls brought to you by Hyundai. Hyundai helps protect you and your family on the road. We put your safety first and everything else second. So getting back to Giddey for a second, Nick. So Giddey is with Oklahoma City, and you got Shai Gilgeous-Alexander probably, and I don't have the analytics in front of me, but I would think he probably had the ball in his hand probably over 70% in half-court sets. Then you had Chet Holmgren coming in after not playing his rookie year or first year in the league. And then on top of that, you have Jalen Williams, who is really coming to his own. So when you look at the big picture, you're saying to yourself, okay, like, you know, when and how often is Giddey going to get the ball and be able to do the things that Giddey was able to do with the Bulls under a different offensive scheme? So don't you think that comes into play as far as why Giddey had a good year?
Absolutely. He had the space and was given the reins and creativity to do what he wanted to do, Chuck. And it's a credit to him. And you mentioned Billy Donovan. I don't think he gets enough credit, frankly, for the job that he did in getting the Bulls even to the point that they got last year. Again, though, what scares me from a distance is if you're the Bulls and you're trading with Sam Presti, you're going, all right, Sam Presti has a long track record of getting the most out of younger prospects and sticking with guys who he believes can really turn into stars. We've seen it time and again on that roster. They just won the title. We know what happened there. If Sam Presti really believed that Giddey could turn into some sort of transformational player, then Josh Giddey would still be on the Thunder. He had a really nice year with the Bulls. I think there is a lot of growth there. I think he can develop his game. I just hesitate to think that Giddey is going to take some massive step from where he was at times last year to a different place, and that's the expectation that comes whenever you do sign that new deal. So I think there is hope that he can be better, certainly. But again, it's about living up to the contract that you're on, not paying for past performance. And that's where I would be very, very cautious if you're the Bulls in this situation.
Right. And again, before the deal was consummated with Oklahoma City and the Bulls, Sam Presti basically had a very transparent conversation with Josh Giddey and said, you're going to have to come off the bench. And Giddey is looking at the fact he's 22 years old, and coming off the bench, his earning power will be cut considerably, and he wasn't ready for that. I get it. If I was in his shoes, I wouldn't want that either, to be a 22-year-old sixth man. And so the deal was arranged. And if you talk to Josh, he has nothing but respect for the Thunder organization, along with the head coach Mark Dagno and Sam Presti. And so it's going to be interesting when Giddey, if he re-ups here, and I think he probably will, I expect him to duplicate and replicate what he accomplished last year, because I think we saw a different player than Oklahoma City. We saw a player that when he went on the floor, he knew that it was basically the rock in his hand. And so I'm still very high on him, Nick.
Chuck, I think the confidence that we saw in his game last year, especially in the second half in Chicago, is a reminder of just how much talent he has. Certainly, he found a rhythm with Kobe White, and it remains to be seen what happens there moving forward. But again, if you're the Bulls, you have to trust that Giddey is really going to elevate from what we saw in the second half to an even better place. And maybe he does. You know, we'll see. But the fact that he left OKC when he did, that really gives me a lot of pause into thinking that he is going to be that star that the Bulls need to build around. And Chuck, on a broader note about our conversation about the team, that still, to me, we'll see what happens with Essengay in the next couple years. Bezelis, as we both said, he really had a strong year in his rookie season. He's got to build on that now. What worries me if you're the Bulls is that they have some really nice young players. The core seems to be coming together at least to a point, but they still don't have the star. And I don't care how many different times that there's been solid teams and teams with a lot of depth, no team wins in the league consistently without a star. And that's what they have to figure out. Maybe Matas Bezelis becomes that guy. Maybe, like we're saying, Giddey develops into a different level and stage of his career, and he hits a different point. But right now, as I look at the roster, I just don't look at a roster that has the one guy that you're building around that makes every single player better night to night.
All right. Nick, you know what? We're going to Mark Eversley. If it's okay with you, I don't know your time. I'd like to get you back because we have some questions about the, in general terms, about the NBA. Can we get you back on the air tonight?
Chuck, I'd be happy to. Whenever you need me, I'm there.
Okay, yeah, because a lot of people are saying what's going on around the league, what's happening with the Knicks and Jason Kidd, what's going on with the Nuggets, because Josh Kroenke, like he was talking about Jokic the other day, and people have the red flags up saying, what's going on? He's talking about the second apron. And so we're going to get into all that, but right now let's go to Mark Eversley.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Thanks, guys, for hanging out. I know it's late. It's been a long day for a lot of you, but I appreciate you hanging around. Before we open with questions, I just want to take a moment to address the Billy situation, and I'll talk about the draft and the team going forward. I'm sure you all have questions. As team policy, we don't discuss contracts publicly, but what I can say is how much we value Billy, both as a coach and as a person. He's a Hall of Fame coach who brings a steady presence and deep commitment to player development that helps reestablish our style of play. He's someone who sets the tone in the building every day with how he shows up, how he communicates, and how much he cares. You guys work with him every single day, and I'm sure you see it as well. Tonight, we drafted Noah Sengue, small power forward from France, and we're really excited about him. This past year, he played for Ulm in Germany. He's the second youngest player in the draft. He's a skilled power forward who has the ability to score the basketball. He's excellent in transition, and he can play well above the rim. He's got great hands, and he's got great feel for the game, and we're looking forward to welcoming him to the Chicago Bulls family. We've said it before, but it's worth repeating. We are in transition. We took a step back this season to reposition and retool. And while we don't know exactly what next year's roster will look like, we're encouraged by the early progress and the direction that we are heading. Over the next 18 months, through the draft tonight, free agency, and with financial flexibility coming in 2026, we believe we are setting ourselves up to take meaningful steps forward. We know we have a lot of work to do. We know it's frustrating when change doesn't happen overnight, but we've seen encouraging growth from our youth, from our young core, and we're going to keep pushing. Building something great, making it last, it takes a long time. It takes planning, patience, and doing the hard work without taking shortcuts. There may be tough moments along the way, but we believe in this path, and we appreciate the fans and you all sticking with us as we take that next step. With that, I'll take your questions.
Hi, Mark, Casey Johnson with Chicago Sports Network. Can you just kind of take us through the pre-draft process with Noah, like when you guys first scouted him, like how much contact you had with him leading up to tonight?
So the first time I saw Noah was last September. He was 17 years old. Ohm played in Portland. That's the first time I saw him live. You know, obviously our international scouts saw him play at the youth level several times. But we've seen him live many times. We've watched a lot of tape on him. And, you know, we're excited about, you know, his ability to come in and play our style of play. You know, I think the coaching staff is excited about him. And we're looking forward to seeing him here in Chicago.
Mark, how you doing? Joe Colley, Chicago Good. Sun-Times. First thing, just to clear up the Billy thing, meaning you're not taking any questions on whether he was extended or not. Is that that statement?
That's correct.
Okay. The second part with Noah, how much before that, leading up to that pick, how much talk was there about trying to move up? How much was there as far as you guys manipulating things to, or were you guys fine at 12 and that's the guy you guys mocked and thought that you would get?
We looked at several options, both moving up and moving back. We were in contact with three or four teams prior to us, but as we kind of saw the board coming down, when it got to 10 and 11, we felt comfortable that the player we wanted was going to be there for us.
Drew Stevens with the Bigs. Mark, in giving you your latest contract extension, what did Michael compliment you on, and what goals has he set for you and Arturas moving forward?
So as I stated earlier, we're not going to talk about contracts tonight per team policy.
Sure, but it's not about the contract. It's about, you know, what did he feel like you guys did well, and what does he want you to kind of focus in on and shoot for moving forward?
So with respect to, you know, expectations for us, it's to continue to build on what we've built. So as I mentioned earlier, we're a team in transition, and, you know, we're all about bringing in young, dynamic, athletic players who can play the style of play that we want to play. You know, and I think at the end of the day, if we continue to do that, you know, we're going to build a team that's going to compete on a yearly, nightly, and yearly basis.
Julia. Mark, in regards to Noah, when you kind of look at development for him this year, I know last year we saw kind of a little bit of like the slower approach with Matas.
Sure.
What do you envision, especially with his age, as kind of an appropriate timeline, an appropriate expectation for what he can contribute from day one?
So in terms of his development, he's going to have a off-court development plan and an on-court development plan. Being only 18 years old, you know, growing up in France, you know, there's going to be a period where he's going to need to assimilate to, you know, not only how we do things here in Chicago, but really how we do things here in America. We're going to put together an off-court plan that helps him adapt to his new environment, both on the court and off the court, and that's going to start as early as this weekend.
Jamal Collier from ESPN. Mark, just with respect to the contracts, why sort of the lack of transparency with both Billy and kind of you and Arturas? Why sort of the lack of transparency about discussing that?
Again, it's just team policy. You know, you've been here longer than I have, and, you know, that's always been the case. It's something that, you know, the team just doesn't comment on.
Cody Westrone with the Score. I think you got 12 players under contract. Mm-hmm. If you re-sign Giddy, I think that's 13. So with that kind of as the basis, just how much roster turnover do you guys expect to have this offseason?
So we're going to look at we'll look at the second night of the draft tomorrow night. We have 45. We need to make a decision of whether we're going to select that, you know, pick or not. You know, there's always an option to two-way or trade up, trade back, or completely get out. So if we get out tomorrow night, you know, we'll be at 13, and then we'll look at free agency. So we'll continue to look at different options, whether that's trades, free agency next week or in a couple weeks. And, you know, we'll continue to tinker with the roster.
And that, so for the second round, drafting and stashing a player overseas is in play for you guys as an option potentially?
It's potentially an option, yes.
John. Matt, it's going to John.
When you look at John Greenberg, The Athletic, when you are looking at Essengay, what kind of player do you see? I mean, do you guys have projections of current players now that you see he could develop into? When you see a guy this young, like, what's your imagination? Where does it take you?
I see him as a two-way player who can impact the game both offensively and defensively. His ability to get to the free throw line and play downhill is super intriguing to us. I think he'll be able to be a versatile wing defender. I think his game is a little bit similar to Matas in that, you know, he can face up, he can post you up, he can get out on the break. You know, his game's just very versatile.
I don't want to say repetition, but, you know, like you say, if his game's like Matas, you like having that kind of, those two guys with the same skill sets?
I do. I like the length, the versatility, you know, the ability to be switchable on defense. Those are all intriguing qualities.
I know you talked about the process you guys have sort of to build the team out, but I'm curious of what your takeaway was from watching Indiana and watching the way the run they made to the finals. I mean, they're on a team with a bunch of superstars and such, made this run, and then the injuries that have kind of happened at Tatum that opened up the East and such. Just what do you take away from the way the playoffs, you know, does that make you guys inclined to be more aggressive or inclined to change a plan when you see how the conference shapes out?
I think the thing I take away from Indiana is just their style of play. They continue to come at you over and over and over. They play fast, in spite of what the score is, what quarter it is. You know, and I think that's kind of how we played a little bit this year. They've got a bunch of players who can play on both sides of the floor, and that's exactly what we want to build here in Chicago, is players who are versatile, both offensively and defensively. You can't hunt any of their players. Everybody can guard, everybody can defend, everybody can run, everybody can make a shot.
Mark, Matt Zahn from CBS Chicago. Jamal touched on it a little bit, but does the fact so many injuries in East, it seems like the conference is a little more wide open. Does that change at all the way you attack this offseason, feeling like there's almost a window open at this point?
There's definitely, you know, more opportunities for teams to take a jump. You know, there's certainly teams who have taken a step back. I think for us, we need to remain diligent and pragmatic about how we build this. We don't want to skip steps. And I think sometimes when you do skip steps, expectations kind of build and you make mistakes. And I don't think we want to do that.
Will Gottlieb, CHGO. Just on that, in terms of timeline and process, how do you kind of view the timeline of where things are headed in terms of getting back to a point where you're maybe in the playoffs, you know, earnest, or in the top four? Is that going to be something that you think is going to be like a more, you know, multi-year process, or is that something that you think you're going to try to kind of get to more rapidly?
I think we're just going to continue to focus on player development, and, you know, we've established a style of play offensively. I think the next iteration of this is really identifying who we are defensively and how we can improve. You know, for our young players, I'll use Matas as an example. Matas, the second half of the season was terrific. I think everybody in the room would agree. How does he now respond to being on the scouting report? What is he doing this summer to work on his game, knowing that he will be on the scouting report? And I think to a man, everybody on the roster needs to take that type of mindset. How do I get better this summer? How do I continue to support my teammates? And I think if that's the mindset, you know, we're not going to put timelines on it. I don't think that's the approach.
Mark, Joe Colley, Sun-Times again. I know you brought up the Pacers, and not that there's a comparison. One of the things you said is you can't hunt guys. guys on their team. Your team, there's guys that can be hunted. That was shown by Miami. That was shown. So, A, how big of a concern is that? And B, the question I've asked for the last couple of years, you guys keep talking about, you know, building depth, but at the end of the day, you still need that dude. Where are you guys going to find that dude? How do you – it just seems like you guys don't have a plan to land that kind of guy.
I think there's different paths, Joe. I think, you know, internal development is the way we're going to attack that. You know, I think if you look at, you know, somebody like Modest last year, nobody thought he would finish the year he did. Now, I'm not putting any kind of undue expectations on Modest, but, you know, there's other players in this building on this team who, if they continue to develop, continue to work on a daily basis, they may get there. And we have the resources in place, the coaching staff, player development to support that.
But the mindset is still not going to be you need as talented a top pick as you can get, and you have to do what you can to put yourself in that position.
I think we just need to continue with our internal development plan. And, you know, at some point, you're going to be able to turn that. And I don't know when that is or what that looks like. I understand where you're going, but I don't think we're going to take that path.
Casey.
Mark, on the one hand, Modest obviously played 80 games last season. You kind of know what you have. On the other hand, he likes to play basketball. I assume he's going to be at least practicing with the Summer League team. Will he also play in Vegas?
Plan is for him to play with the Summer League team. Sorry, go to training camp with the Summer League team. He will play. We're just not sure how many games he will play.
Drew?
Mark, have you guys hired a new director of player development or a shooting coach?
We have not.
Are there plans to?
We have promoted somebody internally to join the player development crew. We've got four guys who we have the utmost confidence in to continue what that program has been able to establish. If there's any indication of how well they're doing, we've had 10 to 12 guys in the gym every single day. Our gym is alive right now. The notion that our players want to work and we've created an environment to where they want to work is something that we're very proud of. Our gym is busy every single day. And it's a direct reflection of Billy's guidance overseeing that player development department. And, you know, I'm really, really proud of what they've done this summer.
Thank you.
Oh, sorry.
Thank you.
Okay, that is the general manager of the Chicago Bulls, Mark Eversley. We want to hear from you on the phone lines at 312-644-6767, 312-644-6767. We're going to take a break. Julia Poe of the Tribune is going to join us. Joe Cowley of the Sun-Times. Cody Westerlin of 670thescore.com as well. Nick Friedell. We're talking NBA ball. We're talking Bulls draft. More coming up in a moment. This is Chuck Swirsky on 670 The Score, your home for Chicago Bulls basketball.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Welcome back to the Scores NBA Draft Special. Here's your host, the voice of the Bulls, Chuck Swirsky.
And we are live right here on 670 The Score, bringing you NBA and Bulls draft coverage at 17 minutes before 11 o'clock. We're on the air, folks, until midnight. And joining us, Julia Poe, who covers the Bulls and the NBA and the WNBA for the Chicago Tribune. And Julia, we just listened to the GM, Mark Eversley. And I'm going to ask you just a question to begin our interview. Number one, thank you for joining us. What did you take out of the press conference?
Yeah, I thought it was really interesting just to kind of hear what Mark Eversley had to say about maybe a potential timeline for Noah Esenge. I think that's the biggest question when you draft an 18-year-old, you know, second youngest guy in the draft, is wanting to know how quickly he's going to be expected to come along. And I think this is a team that understands that that's going to be a little bit of a longer process.
Yeah, you know, I spoke to a EuroLeague announcer about 90 minutes ago who has seen Essanga play. And he said, Chuck, I'm telling you right now, the guy has an unbelievable upside. He can run the floor. He has good defensive instincts. He can play above the rim. And in the open floor, he is lethal. But he said, keep in mind, he's 18 years old. He won't turn 19, mm-hmm. Julia, until December. So I think Eversley was right. I mean, the expectations, we need to kind of pump the brakes on this, because he's going from the German league, and it was the top league in Germany. He played in the second league last year, but I mean, the transition also coming to the United States is going to be huge, right?
Definitely. And that was something that Eversley touched on. He also brought up the fact that, you know, the Bulls have not necessarily ruled out the possibility of looking at this as a draft and stash situation where you do allow a player to develop for another year in Europe before bringing him over. So I think that there's going to be a lot of plans in how you approach his development. Mark brought up off the court, on the court. This is just a kid that's going to have to figure out what it means to be, you know, a young adult, a professional athlete in America. So there's going to be a lot of that growth and development, even more so than, say, like a player like Matas Buzelis, who at least kind of understands the general landscape of what that looks like.
Julia Poe joining us at the Tribune, who does an outstanding job from an analytical standpoint when you read her byline or stories, whatever she's covering. And one of the questions I have for you, Julia, because I've been following, you know, almost on a daily or semi-daily basis with the Trib and your coverage, is the expectations coming into the draft. What were the Bulls' expectations? Do you think that they attempted to be bold, or do you think they said, you know what, we got the 12th pick, let's stay with it?
Yeah, so that was also something that Mark Eversley addressed with us just a few minutes ago, was the fact that the Bulls were definitely speaking with three or four teams that were ahead of them in the draft order. They felt like they were ready to make a trade up. And then he says that they ultimately decided that they felt good. They felt like they could get Essanga where they were. And so they didn't feel like that was necessary. Obviously, you are rarely going to hear a front office executive, you know, address if they did maybe feel like they made a miss, should have made a trade up. That's not something that you necessarily hear on draft night. I don't think it's something that a draftee would want to hear either from their executive. But it does seem like there was at least a certain level of flexibility in wanting to move up a spot or two, but not necessarily to take one of those huge swings that you sometimes see.
Yeah, you know, we've gotten some text here at 670 The Score wanting to know why the Bulls went this direction and not Queen, the center from the University of Maryland, some other players. But what do you think was the driving point with this pick?
Yeah, I think that there's a lot of qualities that Essanga brings that are actually very similar to Buzelis. And, you know, sometimes repetition doesn't really make a lot of sense. I don't necessarily know if you want to build a roster that feels too repetitive, like you've got multiple guys who kind of do the same job well. But that was something that the Bulls were interested in here. I do think that it's interesting to maybe look off some of those more cut and dry center options, especially with the Bulls being in a situation where, you know, they have a veteran center in Nikola Vucevic who is ready to move on. But that was ultimately the decision that they kind of made going into tonight.
Julia, also I have a question coming out of the press conference regarding Buzelis, who played 80 games. And again, as Mark Eversley said, and we saw this firsthand, Julia, the second half, he was outstanding. And I mean, there is a huge, huge upside to his game. But still, I mean, he's what, 20 years old? So I've got to ask you, are you surprised he's going to Summer League to play in the Summer League?
I'm a little bit surprised by it, but I love it. I think that something that we quickly learned about Matas last year is that he loves to play basketball. He does not like to take breaks off of that. I think that he's someone who, you know, back when DeMar DeRozan was still with the team, I think he's someone who would have been out there in the Drew League. Like, he's just not a guy that really wants to go a long time without playing. And so I think specifically for trying to figure out a level of fit with him with some of these new and younger players, I think that all of that is really beneficial. And he is a player that still has a lot to grow, a lot to add to his game. He'll be the first one to say that. So I don't necessarily think that it really is too much of a surprise in like the overarching approach that this team has been taking to his development of really just wanting to dig in and not rush anything and speed him up
into this like main starting role too quickly.
Yeah, you know, again, he's going to practice with the Summer League Ball Club, whatever that's going to look like. And again, I don't know. I mean, I think the window's open now for tomorrow with this second round pick. What is it, 45th overall? I mean, it certainly appears that they, I mean, I came away from that. I'm not sure they're going to have that pick.
Right. I mean, the Bulls are kind of in a really interesting spot right now where obviously they've moved off of a lot of big contracts, especially Zach LaVine, but that has meant taking a lot of contracts back. So they don't have like a bevy of contract spots right now. They don't have a lot of roster spots. And I think that that could result in them deciding to make a move off tomorrow just so that they aren't in a situation where they end up drafting a player that they don't need. That being said, you know, second round is kind of a little bit of a, you know, more difficult area to try to navigate in terms of trades. You just sometimes don't get a lot of value back. So that'll be a really interesting kind of discussion for them to approach tomorrow.
So Julia, when you look at right now the Eastern Conference, what are you looking at going, again, we haven't even hit free agency yet. I don't think a lot of teams have a lot of cap room because everyone's concerned now about the second apron. And we could be here all night trying to dissect what the second apron is because I don't think John Doe fan or Jane Doe fan really understands what that's all about. But the capologist knows that, you know, if you cross that line, you're in big trouble for future negotiations and contracts. Having said this, what do you take out of what you know going into next season without Tatum, without Lillard, without Halliburton, and with a Philadelphia team in flux?
Yeah, no, it's really interesting, like you said, because this is a year where if you're just any Eastern Conference team, you take a look at it and you say, oh, this thing is wide open. There are, you know, if you're a Detroit Pistons team, you are looking at this and saying, okay, this is a time to get a little bit aggressive and make a move because a lot of teams are obviously very vulnerable. The Bulls, however, have been fairly consistent in bringing up 2026. As kind of a target time for them to make some of their more aggressive moves. And so I think that that might be a little bit frustrating for Bulls fans who would maybe like to jump on a year like this to recognize that the timeline is longer for this team. And so even when there is a time when it might feel like other Eastern Conference teams can maybe make a move, maybe get a little bit aggressive, that's just not where the Bulls are at right now. And that does not seem to be the mindset that this front office is really leading toward.
Well, yeah, and again, going into next season, what do they have, six players coming off the books for the 26 offseason? Is that correct?
Exactly, yeah, and that especially the financial flexibility that that creates really does open up a lot of different options, but it also kind of creates this ticking time bomb in terms of trades that you can make. You've got valuable players who are coming off of those contracts. You don't want to just waste a year and then have them walk.
Yeah. Well, so where do you see this thing going with Coby White then?
I think that is one of the absolute biggest priorities of this season. Obviously, there's the Josh Giddey of it all. Obviously, there's the Nikola Vucevic of it all. But when you kind of look at Kobe's contract, the jump that he is expected to take in terms of what he will be expected to be paid going into that final year of his contract, that is kind of when you hit that seesaw effect of value as a trade asset versus value as a player. And they have to make that decision. I think there's been a lot of back and forth in terms of how much the Bulls want to prioritize Kobe, not just in terms of like his position or how many minutes he's getting, but just in how they see him as an asset versus an actual cornerstone to build around or build with. This is not just the season, but this is the summer where you make that decision. And so I think that that is a really, really crucial decision that they're going to have to make. Not even, like I said, not even this year. It has to be made in the next couple months.
Yeah, you know, I think it's going to be a very intriguing storyline to follow over the next couple of months going into training camp. Because number one, I mean, he's played every NBA game in a Bulls uniform. And he loves it here. And he wants to be here. And so we're not looking at a disgruntled player. And so it remains to be seen what direction the Bulls are going to go. This is going to be a very, very tough call for the Bulls, in my opinion.
Absolutely. But I also would not underestimate, you know, this isn't a disgruntled player for sure. But I think for a young player like Kobe, you go through seasons like he's had the last couple of years where you make incredible gains in terms of your own personal development. I think it's really difficult for a young player to go from being, you know, truly young to being kind of that like middle tier of young where you're getting into your mid-20s and you're starting to kind of see yourself be asked to be more of a vet on a team. You're making big progress. You finished second in most improved player voting. I think when you make all of those gains and you're still just kind of stuck in the same quagmire of, you know, play in tournament, crash out, don't play in the playoffs, repeat, I think that that wears on a player. And I don't think you necessarily have to have bad blood with a front office or with a coaching staff to kind of start hitting a point where you say, man, don't you want to have something different happen in your career? So I think that that is something to keep in mind, is that there might be at least a little bit more flexibility and openness to that concept from both sides. You know, it's either dig in here and actually get into the playoffs or maybe look for an option somewhere else.
Yeah. So final question. I know you've been locked in with the Bulls, and I appreciate your time because I know you have deadlines and whatnot. What have you taken thus far the first round from any team or any player? What would you like to comment on?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I think one of the things that has been really neat, just as someone who, you know, I'm not from Chicago or from the state of Illinois, but you live here for a bit and you kind of get in with, you know, the local colleges. I think it was really neat to see multiple Illini go in the first round. That's something that, you know, I think has not happened since, please don't quote me on this, it's not my beat, but I think like 2006. So I think seeing something like that even be a possibility coming into today is kind of a reflection of what that program is building. And obviously a little bit of slippage for KJ, but overall just, you know, an interesting kind of reflection of where that Illinois program has been able to build to.
Yeah, Jack Kachunas drafted 20th, going to the Miami Heat, and then his teammate for the Fighting Illini, Will Riley, a good-looking young player, but again, with an upside, Will Riley, a guard, goes right behind Jack Kachunas, and he is headed to Washington for a very, very, very young Wizards ball club. I mean, they've got a ton of young players. And oh, by the way, Julia, they have $110 million coming off the books. Coming off the books in 26.
Yeah, it's a really interesting spot. You know, you see teams like that build for so long, and then suddenly you look up and they're actually, at least appears, turning the corner and doing something a little bit interesting. I'm looking forward to kind of tracking how that goes this season.
Yep. Julia, thanks so much for your time. I'll let you go. Looking forward to reading your byline on what's going on with the Bulls in tomorrow's Tribune. And do take care. Thank you.
Thank you so much for having me. Always a pleasure.
All right, Julia Poa, the Tribune. In a moment, Cody Westerlin of 670thescore.com with his take on what transpired tonight with the Bulls and the rest of the NBA. We're going to also hear from Joe Cowley of the Chicago Sun-Times. We're going to rejoin Nick Friedell to talk NBA ball and what's going on around the league with the who's the next building block that will help build a franchise with a major name now that apparently Giannis Antetokounmpo is off the market. He's going to stay with Milwaukee. At least that is the going appearance right now after there was some flirtation whether or not he was going to ask out. He said publicly he never did that. He wants to see what Milwaukee will do in the offseason, so maybe that door is not necessarily closed yet. As far as other clubs knocking on the door, we also have to find out what's going on with Denver and Jokic. And we also have to find out what's going on, the big picture regarding the NBA and the Eastern Conference. We'll examine those storylines coming up next. This is Chuck Swirsky right here on 670 The Score and the Bulls Radio Network.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.